Hey, welcome back to the Mining Pod. We got another news roundup for you. Two in a week. Yeah, we missed a few weeks there because we had so many interviews, but we're back into the game with the news. So we'll go through Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining news from the past week. Charlie and Matt are joining us. First, a quick word from our sponsors. Shout out to Foreman Mining for being the lead sponsor for the Mining Pod. You'll hear from Foreman Mining in just a moment and our other sponsors. Before we jump to that, we do want to invite people to the Bitcoin Halving Party here in Denver, Colorado on April 20th at the Independence Institute. If you're in the Rocky Mountain region and you want to celebrate the Bitcoin Halving, which you should as a Bitcoiner, then you need to join. You can find a link in today's show notes. Okay, let's hear a word from Foreman and then jump right into the show.
Hey, listeners, let's talk about revolutionizing your mining operation with Foreman. This isn't your average management tool. It's an all-in-one solution for reducing costs and significantly boosting your revenue. Foreman brings a cutting-edge dashboard to your fingertips, empowering you with automated energy strategies. This means not only curtailing around real-time prices, but also strategically enhancing your profit margins through demand response. It's about leveraging energy efficiency to its fullest potential. With Foreman, you get a system that scales with your business. Inventory management for assets, infrastructure integration, and business intelligence. Foreman elevates the cash flow and production of your entire operation. To see how Foreman can redefine your mining operation standards, visit foreman.mn. With Foreman, you're not just managing a mining operation, you're setting a new standard in the industry.
Want to mine Bitcoin? Gator Mining offers premium hosting with as low as one unit per client, 95% uptime guaranteed, no curtailment, 24/7 monitoring and maintenance, in-house certified repair center, clean and renewable energy, all at competitive market rates. Work with an individualized team to get hash rate flowing your way today. Gator Mining, pioneering trustworthy crypto hosting for optimal mining success. Contact Gator Mining today at gatormining.ca. Bitcoin miners, be prepared. Hash rate is moving upstream towards power plants and low-value energy. Don't get cut off. Modernize and mobilize your Bitcoin mining fleet today with Upstream Data's high-performance load centers. Plug in Upstream Data's hash hut and monetize surplus wind power reliably in the blistering heat of West Texas. Plumb in hash generators and safely convert natural gas into cash in the frigid winters of northern Canada. Upstream offers high-quality load centers that will help you mine Bitcoin safely and reliably in every application and climate. Mobilize today and start mining Upstream at upstreamdata.com.
Are you a retail or institutional investor interested in Bitcoin mining companies? The Miner Mag brings you free data and analysis from all major NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining operations to know who stands out. Check out visualized metrics and data-dependent stories at theminermag.com.
It's morning again in Bitcoin. Today, more degens and traders will go to work than ever before in our industry's history. With interest rates five times higher than last cycle, thousands of Bitcoiners hope to turn this year's yield into a down payment. This afternoon, 6,500 young men and women will be married. And with inflation at less than half of what it was just 2 years ago, they can look forward with confidence to the future. It's morning again in Bitcoin. And under the leadership of Michael Saylor, our industry is prouder and stronger and better. Why would we ever want to return to where we were less than three short years ago?
Hey, welcome back to the Mining Pod. We got a news roundup for you this week. Plenty going on in Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining circles. Got Charlie and Matt, both welcome to the show. Charlie, Matt, how you guys doing?
Fantastic. Great as always. I'm actually officially now a part of Blockspace Media with Will Foxley, so happy to be here.
Yes, we should have done like an announcement episode. I should have interviewed you on the podcast.
This is the quiet sleeper announcement.
Yeah, we're just kind of rolling into it. But we're thankful to have Charlie join the show. Well, not the show, the team full time. He's been on the show since December, January.
It's been a long time, yeah. And even before, I go back a couple of years, actually, I think.
Well, you've been on the show previously, but like as a full-time co-host. Yeah, one day we'll get Matt as well. Okay, we'll jump right into it. For today, we're talking about mempool updates, as always. Difficulty's going up. Or it's actually going down this period, right? Like a little bit? Should we just jump right into that? Not even do like a overview?
It's expected to go down slightly.
Yeah, okay. Right. We put S21s in the notes.
Still a lot of blocks left.
Yeah.
Still a lot of blocks left. The very means
Yeah, if you've looked, if you've like checked in on the current retarget, difficulty retarget, like halfway through. It's not uncommon for it to change a few percent. So, you know, 2% within my standard deviation of who knows which way it'll go in 7 days.
Okay, we'll get back to difficulty in a second. I'm completely butchering this intro today, but that's okay. Thursday morning, so some grace for me. We're going to go over and talk about the ATM shelf offerings that Bitdeer and Iris Energy put out this week, and then also Marathon Digital going and purchasing Applied Digital's site. So a lot of public moves. And then we'll go over to Ordinal's Land, get an update from Charlie on the Runes airdrop, and finish up with a cool report about Via BTC and how they weren't signing their blocks correctly or something like that. A little bit more of a technical conversation, but they missed out on a lot of money for Bitcoin mining. So we definitely need to cover that. Let's go back to difficulty and kick it off. Looking like we're going to go down 2%. I guess maybe the last few months we've just had like a lot of growth and we just like overshot last difficulty going up. What's your guys' read on this? Because to my knowledge, Rackspace still has a premium. People are still putting machines online. There was even a great piece out of Miner Mag this week talking about how S19s and other units are coming online from private miners who are ramping up going into halving.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a report this week talking about, the type of rigs being delivered Q1 and Q2 of, and just Bitmain talk about the pre-orders, and the S21 is like over a quarter of all pre-orders and deliveries they're having. So I know that people are getting their 21s and plugging them in. So maybe that two difficulty adjustments ago in the middle of February was probably one of those big sites coming online. And I would expect hash rate to go up and right up until the halving, and then we can see where we're at as far as profitability.
Yeah, I guess also, you know, hash rate tends to lag price sometimes. We had a correction here in the last couple of days, and although it doesn't perhaps feel that crazy because of how much price has increased lately, it was still from about 73k down to about 62k, so you know, 10%+ correction, and then you just have an expectation of minus around 2%, to Charlie's point, in hash rate. And we're not done with the period. We're about halfway really done. I mean, the further we move along this difficulty period, the harder it will be to actually move that that change likelihood. But I wouldn't be surprised if this moves a little closer to zero in the coming days.
Of course, the reason this matters is because we're targeting our halving date for 420, April 20th. So if it goes too fast, then we'll probably undershoot that and go to April 19th. And so we kind of want to stay in this target. So I'm in favor of decreasing difficulty adjustments until we hit the 20th perfectly, especially since we're throwing the Denver BitDevs halving party on the 20th. And if it's on the 19th, it's really going to take like the wind out of our sails. So if you're listening to this and you have a big site, please unplug for the next few weeks.
You're hashing too hard.
You're hashing way too hard. You're going to ruin my party here in Denver.
My sister gets married on the 20th, so I'm going to bet against Will. So plug in all your rigs and turn them up, overclock them, please.
Not cool. Okay, we got the difficulty adjustment out of the way. Bitcoin price, we've talked about it a lot on the show at the beginning, so we won't do that this week. It's probably around 68 right now. I haven't checked in a bit. Let's go and talk about public mining companies. In Q4, we saw huge ATMs hit the shelf. I think Marathon put out a $750 million one. CleanSpark did a $500 million one pretty recently. Now we have Iris Energy and Bitdeer doing them. So Iris Energy, according to Miner Mag, raised $213 million in Q1 ATM offering. I think from like Q4 to the beginning of Q1, there was like $1.5 billion in these offerings. And it seems like they're filling up pretty easily. So the other one is Bitdeer, which I think was on the Miner Mag earlier in the week, and it was about $750 million. And that came after their chip announcement for their, I think it's like CL01 ASIC chip, and they're going to start pre-orders for their ASIC as well. So what does this mean? I think we're in a bull market. ASIC prices haven't gone up that much quite yet. these public companies are just gearing up, getting cash in the door so they can deploy more hash rate. All the ones that are huge, like large offerings, I think our teams are doing pretty well. So that's what you're seeing with that. There are a few other companies I mentioned in here that are still doing pretty well, even though they're like smaller in terms of like hash rate under management. So I think they mentioned Bit Digital at the end, raised 33.5 million. I think Bit Digital has somewhere around 3 exahash. So it definitely seems to be like your ATM offering, it can be as large as your hash rate is on the market. That is what I have seen. Matt, Charlie?
Yeah, look, that's expensive. It's been expensive. And the public mining companies have been, I think rightfully so, tapping public markets to try to get capital. I think this is just another instance of that. And yeah, maybe they're gearing up to get further into, you know, what has been the mining gold rush. It feels like we are in the mining gold rush part of the mining cycle. And each halving cycle in the past has sort of kicked that off and continued it. I think miners are preparing for that. We see S21 shipments all over the place. This makes sense to me. Charlie, what do you think?
Yeah, it's really interesting because if we look at the story of the ASICs paid for with very expensive debt from last cycle, it was a very, very expensive and painful lesson that a lot of people just barely emerged from. And it's interesting because it's kind of obvious you want to take out debt when the price is low and the value of your collateral and the machines goes up. So it's, you know, machines are near still their all-time low. So the value of your collateral and what you're taking that out against is, it seems like a better time than the last cycle back when rigs were at $12,000 and $14,000. I would hope the industry has gotten more sophisticated at structuring these deals. And so, I think the public markets and debt markets are a huge tool. You just got to not be too degen about it. So I think the industry has probably matured a bit. And it's a bull market. So the hundreds of millions of dollars raised towards this is like not surprising to me. I think we'll see even bigger deals over the next few months too.
Yeah, didn't Marathon put out like a $1 billion shelf recently? Is that true? Thought I saw
was
that in like
700 or 800, I think. It was a lot. Okay.
It was a lot of money. Like one thought on this that's surprising to me, that markets don't price these things in very easily. So Matt's point, that's expensive, you know, 5% interest rates, probably higher if you're going through like a different credit facility. Bitcoin, why would you want to sell your Bitcoin right now? Corn's going up. So if you sell that asset to get more hash rate, probably not worth it, especially going into halving. I'd rather just sit on that. So you go to the market and you do these offerings. It's surprising me like these aren't like priced a little bit differently right now. Like ASIC prices are still low. So I see why miners are trying to pick up more ASICs right now by using an ATM. They're going to, you know, refurbish their fleets, get up S19s or get XPs out of the way and put in S21s or T21s. And that's basically what's happening here, unless they're going out and buying rack space. The fact that the market doesn't realize that, and there's like this 6 month period where like these stocks or these public companies can go to the market and sell equity so easily in the refurbish. And then I think like 6 months from now, you're going to see a little bit of a different situation where the unit cost to buy an ASIC goes up so much, it doesn't necessarily make sense to go and sell equity. You just kind of want to like sit during that period and wait and just keep mining Bitcoin. But we're like right before that period starts. So that's kind of a wild thing for me to take a look at here and see that going on. But we can move on to the next story. I think we're getting an ordinals update from Charlie, which is becoming sort of like a feature every week on the show, which is great. I think we're the only real show that does an ordinals update weekly. Probably the only show on CoinDesk that does an ordinals update weekly.
Yeah, I'm surprised that this isn't standard in pretty much anybody who's doing any kind of Bitcoin mining analysis, because this is becoming a material driving factor of unit economics. So in the Blockspace newsletter, the most recent tale is an ordinals adjacent topic, which is Runes, the new fungible token standard thrown out by Casey. And right now, everybody and their dog is like issuing basically are like pre-runes. They're basically creating an inscription or an ordinal which they'll give to you, which you can then redeem supposedly at a later date when the runes standard launches. That's on the halving. So this is in anticipation of driving a lot of fee revenue to miners post halving. But right now, the market for these like IOUs basically to future runes claims is significant. And here's a chart from last, if you're watching online on YouTube, here's a chart in our newsletter from this past week, just kind of snapshot of the overall market capitalization of these inscriptions, which are IOUs. And we saw this tick over $500 million over the past week, and it's fluctuated a lot. This has been kind of a comparatively robust market so far, and it seems like it's only increasing in interest. So even since this newsletter on Monday, the market has changed a lot, and there's even more of these things. They're airdropped to users. So it's a very lucrative time to be speculating on Bitcoin. And I think, and I would love for this to kind of spill over into a lucrative cherry on top of the cake for miners post-halving. So you'll be hearing a lot of runes updates on this show. Runes and ordinals, different things, but they go together right now, and the market treats them as such. So been fun watching it.
And a little plug for Bitcoin Season 2, that's show Charlie's booting up right now. We've done two episodes to date, doing live streams. So if you follow the Blockspace Pod Twitter account, at Blockspace Pod, which you can find in the show notes, then you can find conversations about all this stuff. So you're into runes or ordinals, want to scratch that itch, go there. Need ASIC help? Check out Bitamine, one of Bitmain's certified repair shops located in Washington State with satellite offices in Colorado, Oklahoma, and Texas. PSUs, hashboards, immersion setups, in and out of warranty repair, Bitamine has you covered. Want to train your technicians? Bring Bitamine to your site for hands-on training in the art of ASIC repair, complete with Bitmain AMTC certification. Contact Bitamine today at dan@vmasic.com. Again, that's dan@vmasic.com. When you think of ASIC repair, think Bitamine. So Charlie, just for one point of clarification, for runestones, we have Casey's whole project, and then there's a lot of people like around it sort of taking like the same name and launching their own riffs this on
is, it. It is so difficult to differentiate what is the standard or the protocol, and then what are the particular projects. So the colloquial nomenclature for this token standard is the Runes token standard. Casey's particular GitHub repo, he calls Runestone. That means his specific implementation of the Runes standard. So when people say runes, they always mean Casey's Runestone. Then there is the most popular and largest by market cap pre-Runes NFT inscription, which is also called Rune Stones, and that is issued and kind of led by a Leonidas, a well-known ordinals influencer. But there is a bunch of these, and I'm curious to see how the market kind of shakes out as far as nomenclature, because I found that like the market and the degens can only like introduce one or two new words each like narrative cycle. So I would love for the market to sufficiently differentiate between the standard and the projects on the standard. This would be really good for us to do. Otherwise, it's going to get really hard to cover these things.
I'm glad that the Ordinals community has accepted the Bitcoin ecosystem's naming conventions. That's very comforting that we're just following this train. We're just going to keep it rolling, and no one's going to know it. Anything's going on. Charlie, I do have a question for you. There's all these IOUs, right? These are all IOUs. The official rune block when everything is live is the halving. We're still about a month away from that at the time of recording. Does this mean that there's going to be, I think this is the equivalent language in altcoin speak, token generation events following the halving block that brings, I mean, really high transaction demand? Is there strong reason for the issuers of these rune fungible tokens, right, to do their issuance in immediacy after the block, or are they expected to? How will this affect the fee market?
We will have to see, but the short answer is yes. There's an urgency and a huge market demand to be early and first. The way that runes like get their name is probably won't dive into it, but you know, a lot of people will just have the ability to name their rune whatever they want. But there's obviously going to be market leaders. And when kind of like we say, well, colloquially, we refer to the RSIC runes token, everybody will know that we're talking about that specific one. It's going to be a clear mad dash through the door in the blocks following the halving. And it could result in a similar mechanic as we saw with BRC20, where you have people bidding against each other and it result in an incremental, perhaps cyclical fee spike and fee demand. So,
well,
very exciting times.
Can I say something? Can I make a public service announcement?
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Mining Pod, consolidate your UTXOs. Do it now. Do it right now. Because now that people can speculate within block space on financial assets, right? And I say that term loosely, but now that people can speculate on assets within Bitcoin block space, and it's not just used for simple transactions, we could have a fee environment like Bitcoin has never seen before. And that impacts you as a Bitcoin owner. And you do not want your UTXOs to fall below the dust limit.
Oh, we should have brought the John Caravallo, I think that's how you say his last name, video up about him talking about Lightning. Maybe we'll do that next week.
We'll do that next week. Here's an actionable item based upon what Matt said for the miners who might be listening to this. And that is, a lot of miners I know, particularly the smaller ones, may have regular withdrawals from a pool to their cold or hot wallet. And that means you probably have a bunch of UTXOs pointing to your wallet. If you don't know what I mean and you get regular withdrawals to your wallet, you need to figure out what we're talking about, and you need to learn how to consolidate your UTXOs. So this is an actionable item for listeners of the Mining Pod.
No, it's real. I went to go do something. I forget what I was doing, but I had a bunch of UTXOs. I think it was in a mining wallet, honestly. And I was looking at like the fee, and I was like, wow, this is just going to blow me out of the water. Because it was just like reconsolidating everything. So I just didn't do anything. So I was like, okay, I'll just leave it. So I should probably go figure that out right after the show, but I have no idea which wallet that was. So, oh, well. I will state one last thing for this. On the halving, there's going to be some craziness, I think, around this block with the runestones. And if you are interested in learning more about that, go check out the podcast we did with Brandon Bailey last week or earlier this week, formerly of Galaxy Digital, and we go over why that could be somewhat contentious or crazy. If you're into mining pools and that sort of dynamic, that's going to be the thing to watch and to speculate on. I want to try to convince Matt of something that I was talking with Charlie last night about, which I think maybe you already brought up because you bring up, oh no, you brought up runestones on screen. I wonder what the next narrative or FUD wave is for ordinals. And the one I want to start is that ordinals create paper Bitcoin. So like, bear with me for a second. So if you have like a bunch of node monkeys or a bunch of NFTs, Bitcoin NFTs that are worth like, you know, 5 Bitcoin, 10 Bitcoin floor in the future, then if you take the aggregate amount of those Bitcoin within the bids for them versus all the HODL Bitcoin out there, you could convince someone that there's not enough Bitcoin out there to bid against all these NFTs. And so we're creating paper Bitcoin in essence. Do you think we can get that to take off?
No, I don't.
I kind of want to try.
I don't know,
Matt.
I'll maxi you right here. I'll play that role. One, there's only ever going to be 21 million Bitcoin. Two, if you have coins that are sitting in bid Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong on the technicals here, but they're just partially signed Bitcoin transactions waiting in the mempool. Is that right?
Yeah. And sometimes they may not be sitting in the mempool. They may just be broadcast that anyone can sign.
Ah, right. Either way, these coins are not burned. Right?
Yeah, they're not actually. They're just bids.
They're just sitting there. If anything, it creates idle Bitcoin.
That being said, I think we can FUD this into existence. So I might try it this week.
I'll give a little win to Will's idea here. And you've heard of these rare Satoshis, if you will. And I pulled up a marketplace, magisat.io, where these things trade and you can have an uncommon sat, the first sat of a block. And in a scenario where the market capitalization of uncommons could approach or surpass that of the entire Bitcoin supply, that creates a hilarious paper Bitcoin distortion.
Think of it, Matt. Like, yeah, just one Satoshi is worth more than Bitcoin are in existence. Like, I think we can easily make this FUD happen. So I'm gonna make a fake Twitter account this week. I'm gonna start spreading this FUD and seeing if I can get like Pledator pick it up. So I feel like that'll be
your stamp of approval
that the FUD is working. Okay, we've spent a lot of time on NFTs.
It only makes Bitcoin more scarce, in my opinion, because you have sats that are being dedicated to be held for even other reasons, because they're even more precious sats. They'll never move. It just makes the supply even more strict and harder to achieve getting different sats. Maybe you could take this to a Bitcoin politics perspective and say that if there was a fork and an actual real disagreement on which on an ordinals type issue, then the economic majority of nodes could be distorted by how much people actually value certain Satoshis on the ordinals chain. But that is a topic that I don't think we should explore.
We got Matt to say that's for Bitcoin chain. Season 2.
Yeah, it's for Bitcoin Season 2. Honestly, the next conversation is somewhat for Bitcoin Season 2 also, but we're going to go through it. So Charlie, can you take us through Bitcoin MEV and Quantum Cats? And for miners who are listening to this, MEV again stands for Miner Extractable Value. It's the idea that because you are a Bitcoin miner, you have potentially the ability to earn extra revenue by, say, paying out a ban for transactions or helping someone implement a non-standard Bitcoin transaction into the Bitcoin blockchain. Something we see in Ethereum land quite a bit since they have so many different assets, but in Bitcoin, it's popping up right now. And we saw one of the better instances of Bitcoin MEV this last week because of Bitcoin ordinals. So again, apologies if you're a Bitcoin miner, you just want to hear about hash rate. We're taking you down a different road today for a little bit.
This is one of those things where if you're in Bitcoin mining, you don't have time to spend all day on Twitter and online, but you want to at least be apprised of like what's happening. This is the kind of story you can use and tell over the dinner table or as you're unscrewing those faulty S17s. So basically, there's these new assets on Bitcoin, ordinals and inscriptions, and sometimes they sell on the market. And sometimes these things will accidentally sell for way under the market value. And the way that transaction is settled is that it actually is a Bitcoin transaction, specifically called a partially signed Bitcoin transaction. And what happens is someone can sell one of these assets, in this case, a Quantum Cat, for well below market value. That partially signed Bitcoin transaction signed and thrown into the public mempool, where eventually it will be included into a block and the seller will get their Quantum Cat and the buyer will get the Quantum Cat and the seller will get the Bitcoin. But because these mempools are public, because the nature of Bitcoin's transaction set is largely public, people looking at it and watching it can observe and identify, wow, there is this transaction which has an underpriced asset. They can come in and snipe that transaction and replace, they can alter it and replace basically where the Quantum Cat, the seller, the buyer's asset goes. And they can basically purchase that from the public mempool, and we call it sniping. And this is a form of MEV, or maximum extractable value. We saw this happen last week in a very public way. One of these cats sold, and it was sold for 0.49 Bitcoin, which is crazy. But the actual real value of this was close to 1.9 Bitcoin. So there's about 1.5 Bitcoin of arbitrage to be gained here. That is close to $100,000 of like opportunity to have basically a strategy to identify, snipe, and replace this transaction. So that's what's happened. We've seen this been happening more and more on Bitcoin. There's a lot of people doing this now, and it's becoming a little more sophisticated. And it's bringing with it a lot of conversation about Bitcoin MEV, because what if this happens at scale? How do we prevent or reduce this incentive? These are the conversations we'll be having a lot this year on this show and on Bitcoin Season 2.
Got to rewind the chain, get rid of these ordinals. Some problems.
Dude, I don't know. It's going to be really fun to talk about, though. So it's a really good time to like dig into how Bitcoin works, and then maybe pull your head out of the mine sometimes and look at how the marketplaces work.
Yeah, I'm excited for next week. I'm going down to Empower and having a lot of the energy conversations for Bitcoin mining, which obviously are also very important and interesting as well. I'm curious to see how much this MEV stuff is getting into the mental model of miners. I'm seeing it more and more. There was a Spaces this morning on Twitter, and I saw so many different Bitcoin miners just listening into the conversation, because I think they realize that there's possibilities for them making more money. Like Marathon launching Slipstream, I think, was probably the best indicator of that. And we're going to see more of it this year. I'm interested to see what tooling develops for, say, your pleb miner or your miner with 100 to 500 petahash being able to take advantage of Bitcoin MEV. Likely won't be anything for a while. But it would be very cool to see that. We saw it develop in Ethereum a little bit, where some of these solo stakers were able to like opt into certain protocols and get a little Bitcoin, or get a little MEV out of that experience, but not to the same degree that some of the centralized systems did. So that is what I'm looking for. Matt, any final thoughts on this one? Did you buy a cat or a wizard?
I haven't bought a cat. I haven't bought a wizard. I'm
can't
waiting
buy a wizard, is your question.
I'm waiting for the CTV inscription collection. I might bid on that one. That might be mine.
Rubens. Love it. Okay, let's go to the final topic for today, which again, we have Charlie explain. This is a blog post from one of the better developers out there, 0xb10c. So shout out to them, talking about how they went through Via BTC's blocks and found some interesting problems with them that were causing Via BTC to, I believe, issue like basically stale blocks or blocks that just were not accepted by the network. Via BTC is a China-based pool, or was formerly a China-based pool. I don't know exactly where their headquarters is now, but I think they have between 10 and 15% of the network, and they're informally not allied, but associated, I'd say, with Bitmain. I don't think there's like a true connection there I could point out, since I haven't gone through like documents, but generally they're associated with Bitmain. So I'll throw it over to you, Charlie.
Yeah, so OXB10C is a Bitcoin researcher, really, really sharp. Make sure to follow this guy's blog. And you actually summarized it probably sufficiently, Will, in that Via BTC was at risk of producing invalid blocks. And the way that this researcher identified this is you can pay attention to your Bitcoin node if you have it a listening node, which listens to the network and see which blocks are being broadcast and relayed. You can identify, as he did, if a pool is trying to submit an invalid block. And I would recommend you read through this post where he explains how and why it was invalid. In particular, one of my favorite sections of this is actually where this researcher talks through the actual step-by-step way that a block is validated according to the Bitcoin Core software. So, and this specifically Via was trying to create an invalid witness commitment in the Coinbase transaction. So this is really interesting. I think as we talk about MEV and different kind of block construction, as this narrative continues to become more important, we'll see a lot of interesting, very technical events like this.
Yeah, I mean, as a miner, if you are using Via BTC and you're using like PPLNS, like a payout structure where you're depending on the pool actually winning valid blocks, this affects you, right?
If wow, you're, if another you're, topic we didn't bring up.
Yeah, if you're just
structures in the wake of Slipstream, maybe another week. There is a wild amount of Bitcoin mining content out there right now. I could easily be doing 3 to 4 podcasts a week on all this information, as opposed to last summer, where it was hard to scrap together one quality Bitcoin mining podcast per week. So I'm very thankful for that. I hope it does not slow down, but I suppose it's just the halvening effect. And then I think also ordinals. The show is becoming, you know, increasingly technical, so we need to get back to our roots a little bit. I think if you're watching this or listening to it and you're enjoying it, go check out Blockspace Pod, the Twitter handle. You can find Bitcoin Season 2 there with Charlie. Our new website will be up very shortly. You can go to it now. It's just a newsletter, blockspace.media. But the full website will be up sometime next week, and you can find all our different podcasts, articles, content, events there. So I'll be doing a soft launch, and then I'll be down at Empower. So if you are listening to the show, come say hi to me. I'd love to meet new people, get to know new faces. I don't think Charlie and Matt will be there. Matt said he's done with conferences. So, oh well, just me. He's not even going to respond. He's that unhappy. Okay, we'll close out the show. Now you have something to say?
Leave me to my charts. I don't need your conferences.
True. We need to get some charts from you on the website. Okay, we'll close out for this week. Thank you for listening to The Mining Pod. We will see you next week on Tuesday. We have a show with Citria, aka Chainway Labs, talking about Bitcoin rollups. And then we'll have a lot of different oil and gas, energy style Bitcoin conversations after that, since we're recording down at Empower with a few teams. We'll see you guys next week.